Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, let this play all the way out, and then I want to hear Jim explain himself. So here we are. This happened post-game last night, Penguins Zoom call.
Last question, Jim Colony. Jim, can you unmute yourself? Okay, we'll move on. We'll give Seth.
All right, Jim, go ahead. What happened?
Yeah. My internet froze. My connection just froze. Sullivan, I can't remember how far into it he was. Maybe the second or third question. I could see that I was like fifth in line or sixth to ask a question. And all of a sudden I couldn't hear him. And I thought it was a glitch on my end with the recorder, the way I have to listen to it, that the battery had died, because that's happened before. It wasn't that. The recorder was fine. I couldn't hear anything. I'm looking at the thing, and there's one of those little caution things like you get with a construction zone on your GPS. It was up by Sully's photo picture, which was frozen. So I thought the problem was on their end. I went to the lower hand feature to try to lower my hand because I anticipated a Ron Cook kind of moment here. And then that's exactly what happened. And Jeff was on it too. I sent him a text and I said, what's happening here? I can't see or hear anything. And I never heard from him. And, after a few minutes, I tried a couple different things and I could see that my internet connection had broken down. And so the problem was at my end, but I wasn't there. This one's not on me, okay? Shelton called me out for not unmuting myself a few weeks ago. I think we had some fun with that. This was not on me.
Well, it's at your house, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, but so you're putting it on your cable provider, on your internet provider. Okay, all right.
Yeah, which may or may not be Consolidated Communications, but it just froze on my end. So
okay, all right. Did it come back eventually though? Before the call was over?
No.
Uh-huh. So you just packed it in. And then, said that's a night.
Well, I went to, like, the way I'm connected here through you guys, I have a little hotspot thing that we use on location, and so I'm connected through that. Although my computer seems to be okay this morning. I've got the computer hooked up to the home Wi-Fi, and that seems to be all right this morning.
But you think Consolidated may call you for an endorsement deal now, or do you think you may have just screwed that one up, Jim?
That's right. We always say we have a lot of choices here where I live.
Yes.
Armstrong, Consolidated.
Jim's not real.
It's like living in Butler County, but with higher taxes.
There we are. There we are. Jim now getting shots in at Uncle
there
Sam.
There we go. Monday morning with Jim Colony.
You
everybody.
Want to call Rich Fitzgerald now or what? No, I have his number. You want me to text him? What's the story here? You mad at him?
Yeah, just say Ace. Jimbo.
Ace.
Jimbo needs some help.
Oh, my gosh.
I will pay you $100 cash American if you call Rich Fitzgerald, and when he answers, Ace. You say, hey, Ace.
Yo, Ace. Yeah. Oh, but I will tell you this. I mean, I know what I'm here for. And so I was responsible for sending you the audio that you played of making me look stupid because I know, I know my role. Like, The Rock says, know your role. Like, I know it.
This is the best part right here, the whole audio. That part, Jim. That's where you starred last night. That's where you starred.
I couldn't even laugh at that because I was disconnected. I couldn't even
Jim,
hear that.
Jim, can you unmute yourself?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. All right. Up next, can you cheer for something that happened over the weekend? We get into that. Our internet's working fine, Jim, by the way. All right, over the weekend, Bally Sports out in Southern California, San Diego area, they had this call.
Ground ball to shortstop. Kimbrel go to first. The San Diego Padres get their first no-hitter in the history of the franchise. And it belongs to San Diego's own Joe Musgrove, sending the Friar faithful into a frenzy. Whoa.
There we go. The Friar Faithful. Again, Bally Sports Network. Friar Faithful. Do they call them that at Providence, too, Jim, when you called games up there? The Friar
Faithful. I don't recall
Faithful.
Ever hearing that.
So the Friar Faithful. Good on Joe Musgrove. I can't find a negative, right? He goes back to his hometown team. He's a guy who had success. He is a guy that's a super good guy, Joe Musgrove is. And when he was here, he wanted, like, heck to win here. I mean, he really did. He didn't dog it. He went out there every time, took the ball, and wanted to win here. He even got into fights here, defending the honor of his teammates and everything. But when you look at guys like Cole, when you look at Musgrove, when you look at Williams, Glasnow, do we root for them? Like, look, you can take – that's the first question. And you can also take what is the past regime and say, those guys aren't here anymore. They were essentially let go because of shortcomings and not cultivating that talent, some of those names that I just named. So they're out of here. So you can separate what's happening now from what's happened in the past. But I still think it's a mark against, I don't want to say organization. It is a mark against the organization, but everybody that was with the organization is gone.
Right.
It still doesn't look good when guys go other places and pitch well.
And I think it's something that they won't be able to remove that stain, for lack of a better way to put it, until Charrington has turned things around, when and if he does, and does so with guys that they acquire from other teams, right? Maybe prospects that they turn into winners here in Pittsburgh. And if that happens, then people outside of Pittsburgh will look at the Pirates and say, okay, well, they've bounced back from the Huntington era when pitchers seem to leave for bigger and better things elsewhere, the latter half of the Huntington era, and they've rebounded. And that'll change the narrative about the Pirates maybe a little bit nationally. Here locally, I think when I look at all the guys you just mentioned as examples, Colin, mm-hmm. Gerrit Cole, Tyler Glasnow, Joe Musgrove, Jameson Taillon could be
right.
Trevor
yep.
Williams, who we saw yesterday, all of them. You can keep listing guys who've gone on to success in other places after pitching here. I don't know if there's a one of them, of all the names we just mentioned, that I go, ah, what a jerk, I hope he doesn't do well. Like, they're all across the board good dudes. And I say that as someone, and you got to cover the team and be in the clubhouse every single day. I did a lot of the time as well. And I've covered every single one of those guys, and every single one of them was a decent human being, and that's why it's very easy to root for them. Like, Musgrove in particular, Jim, came in here as a part of the Cole trade that everybody was mad about, and understood that the clubhouse needed a little bit of leadership, or at least the pitching staff needed a little bit of leadership, a lieutenant maybe, alongside Taillon, especially when Taillon was off and rehabbing. And he stepped into that role with, I thought, great aplomb. He was a leader in that clubhouse for the little bit of time that he was there.
Oh, there's no question. And, you know, he was on a team, and, well, they brought in Cole, so it wasn't like Cole blocked him, but there were other guys that blocked him. It was tough for him to break into that rotation. And, you know, he was certainly given a chance here, but things just don't seem to work out for those guys, whether it's injuries, you know, this and not even major ones like with Taillon, but with Musgrove, just little things, you get set back, you know, Trevor Williams. But you know what? And I think Musgrove, and I hope he does well. And Trevor obviously is a guy that we root for too. And he had a perfect game through five innings, his previous start. And then yesterday, you know, had a little bit of bad luck, but he didn't look so hot. And maybe the same thing will happen to Musgrove, too. But it does make you think, what if? And you can't put Cole and Musgrove in the same rotation because they were involved in a trade for one another. But when you look at all these other guys, maybe you can take solace at least, what, Chris Archer didn't pitch well and his arms hurt again.
Well, he got hurt, and that was going to happen. That was just bound to happen. I don't know how you could root against Williams, though. You know, that guy, he comes in, he's...
You can't.
You just can't. I don't know how you can root against Musgrove, because you can't. But the question, too, is, do you root for them? And I think when they don't pitch against the Pirates, like, I do. And if there's a national game on, and especially Gerrit Cole, like, Gerrit Cole is one of the most... one of the most, I don't want to say misunderstood, but the way some in this town tried to paint him was totally wrong, I think. Who wouldn't try to pitch their way out of Pittsburgh when you knew you could be the highest paid player, one of the highest paid players in baseball? Like, people use that or use that in some degree as some sort of mark against him or some sort of a negative. Who wouldn't want to do that? You know,
well, and it was, you know, it wasn't just that, Colin. I think sometimes Garrett came off to people that weren't in there every day. Like I talked about, all three of us were in there a lot. Garrett would sometimes come off as I don't know. People seemed to think he was they just didn't like his personality,
well,
right?
But he grew up quite a bit.
He did, but look, I mean, the guy came in and was the one that the rotation was going to be built upon, right? I mean, yes, they had brought Burnett in to sort of, you know, give him some of those lessons in a way about how to carry yourself and things like that. But Garrett didn't need that. It would have taken him maybe a little bit longer to find that, but he was going to find it on his own anyway. He was going to be an ace. He was going to be a stud that ended up somewhere being successful. I don't think you can look at maybe it's really hard to compare Garrett Cole when he's in the same rotation at times as an established guy like A.J. Burnett, or later when he was in the same rotation as Jameson Taillon, who is one of the nicest humans on the planet. And he might have a bad day, and he might not want to answer your question that night. And to hold that against him, as some people I think did, it was odd to me because
Garrett
he was not a bad
could be
person.
On my team every single day of the week, because when he's 60 feet 6 inches away – he is going to absolutely positively do anything that he can to make sure that your team wins. And he did that here in Pittsburgh, too. He'd be on my team any day. I ride with Garrett Cole, 100% do. Really crazy play. Top of the ninth last night. Phillies and Braves. It's a tie game. This happened.
Didi pops that one into the opposite field. Ozuna's got it. Bohm's going to try it. Here he comes, and he's safe in the plate. Series of replays.
I mean, if that played as a U.S. map, he was barely trying to touch San Diego. Just a little tip.
And then after the call is upheld.
Great reaction there. Oh, not so great there. The emotions
guys,
of the game.
As the umpire, home plate umpire, is returning to his spot, Will Smith was yelling at him.
Yes, and Lance Barrett, who you hear in that call yell, safe. He called Bohm safe. He did, Alec Bohm. But when he slid past Travis d'Arnaud, who did a great job of blocking the plate, I think that's illegal. I think that's legal. I don't know. It felt like he was catching the ball as he was blocking the plate. Alex Baum's foot never touched the plate. It came down, and it missed the plate. They went to a replay, and they said it's not conclusive to where he did or didn't touch the plate, so we just got to stick with the call on the field pretty much. And then Braves starter Drew Smyly said after the game this.
You know, in real time, it's obviously bang, bang. Lance is right there in position, making the best call he can. But then we have five different angles on a national televised game. It's clear that his foot didn't touch the plate, that it was on the chalk. Everyone saw it and sees it. You know, everyone knows it. And for MLB not to overturn that, it's embarrassing. You know, why even have replay if you can won't overturn that? So that's the way I feel about it. I think everybody feels that way.
All right. Thanks, ESPN, for all of that. We're back where we are in the National League East two times in a week, boys, where I don't know what – if you can't, and those are game deciding calls both times, Conforto earlier in the week, this one over the weekend. If we can't get the big ones right, what are we doing here with this replay, Chris?
Well, first and foremost, I don't feel bad for the Braves losing on a bad call at the plate late in the ballgame. That's just karma being served up very, very cold about a decade later. But in all seriousness, I think, like you said, d'Arnaud did exactly what they're asking catchers to do now. He's not blocking the plate. He gives Bohm the perfect path to the plate, and it's a really good slide, except his foot pops up and goes over the plate, and you can see it clearly from the home plate angle. I'm staring at it right now as it loops over and over again on my computer screen. There's no way somebody in New York didn't see that. If they saw it, why the hell did they not overturn it? And I understand Drew Smyly's frustration, and we've gone back and forth on this show plenty of times about replay in all sports, and I understand your frustration and everyone's frustration when you see that, and they say He's safe. How do you look at that and make that call? I understand now. And again, I think you should have replay available to get as many calls right as possible, but that is blatantly wrong. There's no way that can be explained by Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I don't get it, Jim. I don't get it. I've watched it 100 times. Everybody does what they're supposed to do. And look, Smiley even gave the home plate umpire an out. He said, Lance is there, and it's real time, and it's bang, bang, and he did the best job he can. You sometimes miss one, or it's sometimes so close that you're splitting hairs. But Lance Barrett, in this case, Jim, and Smiley sort of alludes to this, he's got an eye in the sky, and he's got a backup. He's got a foolproof kind of safety plan. He's got a net to fall back in, and that lets him down in replay here.
Yeah, I think they're used to, and I think this is a used to be thing, that there was the umpires didn't want to get shown up, like they didn't want to have it say that they right. blew a call. He didn't blow a call, and you're right. Smiley said it exactly the way he should have. He's like everybody else that was out there, you know, that Ozuna, the runner, the catcher, did the best he could, and you know it looked like in real time that his foot came across the plate, but then when you look at it, never touched it. And Chris, you're right. I've looked at that one too. The one from behind, you know, the one that's the directly mm-hmm. behind home plate. That's the one that shows you that he didn't touch it with his toe. Where the other angles, you couldn't really tell. And why they can't overturn it when everybody can see that it should have been overturned.
Some plumber in Scranton shouldn't have a better call. Shouldn't have a better view than what Major League Baseball is looking at. And I don't think he has a better one. I just think that they're afraid to make a decision, or I don't know what it is, but when everyone can see it in their living room, it's not furthering the game. What it becomes then, if you're not going to ultimately get it right, it becomes unnecessary disruption, and that's what people don't want. They don't want
right.
– they can deal with an elongated game if you ultimately arrive at the right decisions.
No, I get it.
And that's kind of where I am with it.
And I understand that point of view. I really do, and I still understand that perspective. This isn't going to lead me to saying, and maybe if it were the Pirates involved, I'd be a whole lot more angry about it, and maybe if this were Jesse James against the Patriots and all that, I'd be a whole lot more enraged, and I'd be saying, just get rid of replay. I'm still at the point where I can't throw the baby out with the bathwater, and I am looking at this today, rather than saying, okay, if we can't get it right, why have replay at all? What I'm looking at is a different angle of, well, if Major League Baseball got this wrong, with the benefit of instant replay, where's their excuse? Where's their logic? Where's their reasoning? Have we heard from Major League Baseball in the last 12 hours since this call was blown? I haven't seen a statement. Buster Olney tweeted it out this morning. He said somebody from MLB needs to answer for this one this morning, because there's no way several people sitting in a room with access to all the camera angles and views and monitors that they have could look at that and say, no, inconclusive. He's out.
You know, another
thing never touched the plate
that no one's going to talk about with this is that's a pretty weak ass throw from shallow left field. If you really watch it, it bounced like two. You got to be able to get a little bit more and make a better throw, I think, especially from one
he's
of baseball's
normally pretty good.
Yes, I know. He must have not had a great grip on it, or something happened.
Every Pittsburgher 35 or older right now is going, well, let me tell you about weak throws from
left
field
in Atlanta, Georgia, right?
You're right.
I know. Oh, all right.
I don't think Sid would have tried to have scored on that, though.
No.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.